Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
You wonder when you listen to some Christian radio and you listen to the teaching that they permit, you go, are they discerning? Or is it really just about money? Whoever's going to pay for the time slot gets it. And more I'm thinking, that's it. Then there's Christian movies. Christian movies. You watch anything. As long as they say it's a Christian movie. As long as that little dove symbol's on there. Oh, look, it's got the dove. Yeah, but look, it's got profanity, partial nudity. No, it's got the dove.
When you put a drop of food coloring in a glass of water, at first it's sort of suspended there, but before long the color saturates every part of the liquid. As we'll hear today, sin saturates our lives in the same way. A small drop will change the color of the water, and a little sin will alter the state of your heart. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, as we join Pastor Troy for our message entitled, Understanding the Kingdom Parables.
But the birds could actually represent, and many commentators, some take the side of it's the church, it's big, others take this side. After doing my own homework, it seems in the context of what Jesus says in all the parables, that he's actually sharing that there will be corruption in the church, that it will grow big. It'll grow so big, in fact, that it will be attractive, so that the birds, so that the corrupt people, so that the selfish people, so that the deceivers will be attracted and land themselves and rest in its branches. This parable is closely linked with the next parable. So before we go any further, let's go further in the scriptures, verse 33, and we'll discover what they mean. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. In every Jewish kitchen, they made bread from scratch. It was homemade. To keep the yeast going for the next batch, what they would do is they would make the batch, then they would make the bread, but before they made the bread, they would take a piece, a lump, they would set it aside, and they would make their bread. And then later on, they would take that lump, they'd put it in the new batch so that the leaven could naturally spread throughout the next lump. The typical explanation of this parable is this. It follows the previous parable. So they thought, okay, the church will grow and everyone can be welcome. So this parable speaks about the inside of a person, how the Bible goes inside and it begins to consume a person. The Word of God begins to take over and spread so that that whole man is ultimately consumed by the Word of God, the gospel. And that is true to some degree, that the Word of God goes in, but sometimes it goes in and falls on deaf ears. Sometimes it goes in, we saw the parable of the soils, and gets choked out and produces no fruit. It doesn't just naturally grow and flourish and take over. It takes faith, right, to follow the Lord, to trust the Lord. Sin, however, sin just takes over. It just corrupts. Every nation has found that to be true. Every nation, and ours has led the way when it comes to starting on godly principles. Every nation finds out that the Bible doesn't just take over, but sin does. It takes over naturally. It takes over easily We're very willing victims. And here's the truth. I know we don't want to hear, but even God's church, sin gets in it and it starts to corrupt. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will there even be faith on the earth? See, to the Jewish hearer, he would not hear something good. He would hear something bad when they talked about leaven, leavening the lump, because it was a picture of sin. At the Passover, they were told, get rid of all leaven. Get it out of the house. Have nothing to do with it. Don't let it be in your possession. The sacrifices were to be offered without leaven. It could not have leaven in it, except for one, the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, which was the grain harvest, which they believed was the time of the giving of the law. But Jesus often said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Why? Because their word gets in and it spreads. Paul said to stay away from evil, for a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So it doesn't seem that these two parables are speaking of something good. Like the church is going to grow and everyone's going to be in it. It seems like Jesus is teaching his disciples something they didn't know was going to happen. That you're going to teach and evil men are going to come. And there's going to be evil and there's going to be corruption that is involved. I didn't come now to establish the kingdom the way you think it's going to be established yet. You've got work to do. It would take the Holy Spirit of God to convert the hearts of men. The work of the Word of God, coupled with the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And I would add to that for us, so that they could see the examples. We would be living out lives that are the parables that people should be able to look to and go, oh, that's a godly home. Oh, that's a godly marriage. We're to be the lights of the world, the salt of the earth. So these parables are an encouragement, I think, to the disciples, but also a reality check for them. Not all growth is good. Under the umbrella of Christendom, there are lots of different belief systems, right? And there are lots of different philosophies also. All of them under the banner of what we might call Christianity today. Some that would fall under the Christian or, I guess, Christian umbrella are even opposed to some of the teachings of Christ. Yet they fall under the umbrella. Lots of bad things have been done and even taught in the name of representing the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's sad, but it's true. The Crusades were not an example of what Christianity was to be all about. We weren't to go make war and kill the infidels. You know, the Christians did that, right? They rose up. They wanted to take back the homeland, the motherland, Jerusalem. And so in the name of God and all that is righteous, they went and attacked and killed people. The Crusades. That wasn't the Lord. But it was done in the name of the kingdom of heaven. The Westboro Baptist Church out of Topeka, Kansas. I don't know if you've heard of them. They haven't been in the news as much lately. But they were that group that at every funeral, they like to try to show up, and especially soldiers who've died, and say, that's God's judgment. They shouldn't be fighting and they're going to hell. And then they go out to the homosexual community. You're going to hell. And it's like, look, that's not the heart of God. That's not what Jesus would have never wasted his time doing that. He reached out to people, but he only reached out and continued to press in if they were willing to receive and listen and follow him. Take the correction. Repent. But he was willing to reach out to anyone, not bash them. In fact, the ones that he bashed, the ones that he directed himself to, were the religious people. Those who thought so high of themselves, they were just religious. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. He was harder on them. But lots of bad things have been done in the name of the Lord, in the name of God. False teachers have gained followers and misled them. David Koresh was one up in our own Texas, Waco. Jim Jones and the Green Kool-Aid. I said to the last service, if we ever serve Green Communion, don't take it. Because it's gone bad. So don't drink Green Kool-Aid at this church, and don't drink it in any other church either. Just letting you know. The Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses are seen as Christian. You know, before I knew what they believed, I thought they were all the same. I thought they were denominations, hey, Baptist, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons. That's the way the world sees things. You know that? They don't know there's a difference. They don't know that they don't believe in the same Jesus or even the same God. In fact, they're saying now, the Muslims, the Christians, the Jews, and these, they're all just worshiping the same God. They just got little different nuances. Far from true, but that's the way the world perceives what's going on. Born-again Christians, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Unitarians, Unification Church, Sun Myung Moon came out better in my notes, handwritten. The world sees them all as just another path to the same God. In the parable of the mustard seed, the plant grew unnaturally large so that the birds were attracted to the tree. And I have to say that the church has certainly become attractive. It's grown into something that has attracted the selfish, the ambitious, the deceitful, men and women alike. See, in the first century, to say, I'm going to be a leader in the church, meant that you were marked. If they're going to go after and kill someone, they're going after you. Strike the leader and everyone else scatters, right? So that's what it meant to be a leader back then. Now today, it's more popular. It's glamorous. It looks good. Man, I get to talk in front of people. I get to have my mug on a bus and a sign. I'm going to be on the radio. What's your vision for ministry? Me. The Lord wants to use me. Well, what about raising up leaders? I'm going to raise up a bunch of leaders as long as they don't get above me. I'm the leader. And it's a problem. The church has become a place where people become famous and popular, and it really does become about a foot in the door. You've heard about musicians who like to get their foot in the door in the Christian music industry first, right? Because there's less competition there. It happens all the time. The church has become a springboard for the things of the world. Christian movies today. Well, we'll start with Christian radio. I just mentioned it. You wonder when you listen to some Christian radio, and you listen to the teaching that they permit, you go, are they discerning? Or is it really just about money? Whoever's going to pay for the time slot gets it. And more, I'm thinking, that's it. Then there's Christian movies. Christian movies. We watch anything, as long as they say it's a Christian movie. As long as that little dove symbol's on there. Oh, look, it's got the dove. Yeah, but look, it's got profanity, partial nudity. It's got the dove. Always got the dove, you know? And so we throw videos in that are Christian movies and the girls are in the same bikinis and everything else that the world's got. And the teenage boys, though they're Christians, are still, wow, nice. You know, they're attracted because they're boys. They're Christians, but they're still boys. And so the Christian world is putting out movies trying to compete. They say, hey, we wanted realism in there. So, you know, most of the movie, it's about coming to Christ. But I know the first 60% of it, they're cussing and beating each other up and doing that stuff. But that's what we had to portray. And in the end, they come to Christ. Well, my goodness, who needs to watch all of that and hear all of those words for the sake of entertainment? So we got Christian movies that are, there. By the way, there are some great Christian movies out there too. Some quality ones, some very good ones that don't have to use partial nudity and language and all of that, but they're very good. They're very impacting. Here's the idea. Sin spreads, and it spreads even into the Christian community and into the Christian church so that we adopt the world's methods. I mean, they're constantly bombarding me with emails about how to make the church grow. You know, things that we can do. Some of it is you got to back off on sin a little bit. Hey, yes, they're sinners, but let them find that out over time. You know, they'll learn. They won't learn. They won't learn if it's not taught that we're a sinner. I hope this isn't the first time you've heard that. We are sinners. Maybe you've always thought that sinners are like murderers and rapists and those guys. But let me tell you, we talked about it weeks ago, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talked about the issues in the heart. He said, look, You say that murder is the sin, but let me tell you, murder is just the fruit of the sin that was in here called anger. So whether you're just angry sometimes or you go all full out and murder, it's the same thing. It's the same sin. It's in the heart. It's there. And the only reason some of you don't commit certain sins that you might go out and commit if you could just live it up is because you're afraid to get caught. You're afraid of the law. You're afraid of the consequences. Otherwise, we'd be run amok. The more calloused you get, the less afraid of the law you become, and you begin to take chances, and then yes, you can end up just like any murderer or rapist out there. Sin unchecked, sin left there without being pulled, can grow into those very things, those very expressions, because sin permeates. It takes over, it consumes, it doesn't just go away. And I like the idea of taking the little lump and they put it aside, because what they're doing is they're taking God, His law that He established with Judaism, and they're taking what was Judaism, they're doing away with it. Now the church is going to continue with those who were Jews. And though the sin that permeated God's people, and it did, is going to continue, and you know the apostles aren't going to spread the sin, but it is from them and from the others. It's going to continue and it's going to overtake even again. Do you know that God will overcome? The blood of the Lamb will overcome sin. But the world, it's gone. The world's going to be destroyed one day. The church is not going to save everything, the spread of sin and everything. It's going to get worse. And it's going to get more corrupt in the world. And as a result of that, our scale is a sliding scale on that morality. You know, if we don't stick with the Word of God, if we just look at the culture, we embrace the culture, and we embrace the Word, and we try to balance those two, we're going to get further and further and further from the Word. Because the culture always, every culture drifts further and further and further from whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is righteous, whatever is the Word of God. Every culture, and it goes for our culture as well. I don't care if our coins say, "In God we trust." We did. We don't. So as a church, as a people, we need to trust in God. And we need to let Him grow us, pull out those roots that can stumble us, those weeds that will really stumble us. He says, let them grow together. And they'll be sorted out in the end. So from the very beginning, Jesus shared that the kingdom of heaven, though it would grow, that it seems not all the growth would necessarily be good. But, I mean, that happened right out of the gate, if you think about it. Jesus was walking around with 12 disciples. Judas was one of them. The church, taking off, people are selling stuff. Man, it's a great time. Then we see Ananias and Sapphira. Want to kind of deceive and not really give everything, hold some back for themselves. And Peter's word to them was basically, look, it was yours. You didn't have to give it all, but don't lie. But you've lied to the Holy Spirit. Then as the church began to grow, the Judaizers came in. Said, we got to go back to the law. This is too easy. The Corinthians indulged in how easy it was. So we got the ones who are bringing the law back and bringing legalism into the church. And then we got the others who are just love. Love, love, love. And they were proud of their love. And they didn't even convict this one guy that they were apparently proud committing a sin in the church. They were okay with it. Now we're loving. Paul said, look, put him out of the church. He's corrupting. Your kids will see that and see that that's okay. That's not right. Put him out to the destruction of the flesh. Now, back then, it worked to put people out of the church because in your hometown, there was the church. That was it. You were the group of people you gathered. So when they were out, they were really out. They were left to the world. And they would come back and go, I'm sorry. I got to get back. Man, it's crazy out there. Today's culture, it's so much harder to work that way, although we still need to protect our families and protect ourselves when someone's going to be full on in sin. But what happens is they just go to another church here now. Well, I'm going to go to this church. Oh, I'm going to go to this church. Sad? but it's true. We need God's Word to help us navigate through a world whose tendency and nature is to corrupt. It's going to corrupt you as a person, and it's trying all the time to corrupt the church, and it is. The church is not what it should be. You know how I know that? Because 12 men began, and they changed the entire known world then. We have humongous mega churches today, and there's little to no impact in the world. There's something wrong with the power. There's kryptonite. That kryptonite is worldliness, compromise, it's corruption in the world. We're no longer set apart, and so we're no longer powerful. Someone once said, the church pure is the church powerful. It begins with the Word of God. What is He saying? What does He mean? Don't just extract whatever you want, whatever you want to feel, whatever this means to you, and blend it into your philosophy. We need to know what Jesus is saying. We need to know His Word. And, you know, there's some things I don't know. And I'll tell you, I have no idea. But it won't mess with the context of the overall message that we need to get, which is, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him, and yes, He is the one and only way, those who believe in Him will have everlasting life. He's made every effort. We've seen the start of the kingdom. That's the parable of the soils. It falls on four different soil types. Only one of those soil types actually produces fruit. 75% of them don't. And today we saw the opposition of the kingdom, that there is an enemy. And the expansion of the kingdom, that not all growth is necessarily good growth. Next week, we'll have the parable of the wheat and the tares explained. So we stop right here. Next, we'll explain the parable of the wheat and tares. We'll also look at the subjects of the kingdom, what God thinks of them. By the way, that's us. And the separation for the kingdom at the end. And the reality of that separation. I know some don't want to believe in it, but Jesus is very emphatic about it, that there will be one. You and I, we need truth. It doesn't matter what grade you wanted to get on your paper. What matters is, if it's an F, you missed the questions. It's truth. It doesn't matter what you want to believe. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter your experiences. What matters is, what does the truth say? And how do you not interpret the Bible based on your experiences, but how do you interpret your experiences based upon the Bible? We must take all of what we experience and bring it back to this book, or else we can mess up this book and mess up our lives. So I want to encourage you, study your Bibles, know your Bible, because we live in a day where you just can't turn on the TV anymore and expect to take in everything that that guy is saying. We live in a time where you can't go to the church anymore and sit and just readily take in everything that this guy is saying. If you care about your soul, if you care about the health of your family and your home, study your Word. And I promise you, I will do the best I can. I think we have good leaders that'll hold me accountable to teach the Bible and not get off on my tangents, no green Kool-Aids, you know, none of those things. And we'll do the best we can to grow in the knowledge of His grace and His truth. We can do that together. And if we do that, and if we let God do the work that He wants to do, I think we can begin to see power coming forth from our lives like it should.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know You more.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is always available in the iTunes store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covered.